think the smell is still lingering from Duke's bean entourage yesterday.
Let me ask you something. Do you is this yours?
No.
Muscle Milk?
No.
This is yours, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Okay, so you better take it back for a refund, dude.
No.
No, this isn't yours.
No.
All right.
I derailed
you.
It's
not mine.
There.
Yeah.
I know you're about to say something. I'm not giving you.
I don't know. If it's yours,
you,
I would have to say.
I am not giving you the satisfaction.
I would return it for, ask you for your money back if this is Muscle Milk.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
I would go to the store right now and don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
That was bad, Leighton. You know what? You just ruined that statement for people.
No, that was perfect. That was
perfect. No, you didn't.
I inserted it. That was masterful.
You blaspheme the people of Amarillo.
I did.
Dolly and Todd should be hanging their head in shame that they know you.
Why?
Just the way you brought that in. It was like there was no substance.
Oh, there was a substance.
It's like you just said it for the sake of saying.
No,
you
it was perfect. I wanted you
out.
To go to back to the story.
Ladies
and get
gentlemen,
because you have
let me
no
teach
muscles.
You. Let me teach you something about comedy. You got to have the context for it. Don't just say it to say it like Zender here. We're crying out loud.
We'll send this to a lab and have it analyzed. And
okay.
It'll come out that was perfectly inserted.
What are we
humor.
Talking about today?
We're going to talk about those people not chosen.
Oh,
because
yeah.
we have to admit, and those poor people that are told that they have to go out there and beat the bushes
yep.
and save everybody because that's God's intention. Again, if you wonder why this isn't working, it's not because your technique sucks. It very well might suck, but that's not the reason. The
yeah.
reason is, you know, it's not because, you know, you need to get a book called Evangelism 101. It's because it is not God's intention to save everyone today.
Yeah.
He is after spearhead groups, what I call the first fruits. And he's called a first fruit out of Israel to eventually bring all the nations. That's going to happen in the 1,000 years. And he's calling his spearhead, called the body of Christ, to bring the rest of creation into subjection to God. What a calling.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this calling. I just thought of an example. In the book of Genesis, Abraham had a calling. Do you agree with that? He was called.
Mm-hmm.
Was there somebody in Abraham's life who later in the New Testament he's called a righteous man? One of Abraham's closest followers. Who was he?
George Jefferson.
Lot.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
But we don't read about Lot having a calling. Well, he's a righteous man. So what my point earlier was, I think when we think of the term calling, see, here's the problem in Christendom. Everything is either saved or lost. That's not true.
Yeah, and it's all in this lifetime too.
Yeah, and so we gotta think biblically. You gotta put yourself in the position of who's being addressed. What is the situation? You cannot think like a 21st century American and understand the Bible, because you know if you do, you're gonna be in trouble. Does that make sense? You gotta think of it in the light of the context of what's going on. When God promised Abraham a land, he meant a land. He didn't mean heaven.
Yeah,
what I'm saying? When Paul talked about the church, which is his body, he didn't mean a building with a big steeple on it.
He didn't?
Absolutely not. The connotations we have today are not the connotations that were associated with Scripture. Sorry about the off topic there.
Right.
I thought it was part of it.
Oh yeah, we talked about the Calvinists and John Calvin. He merely became the person who articulated this particular belief. He didn't invent it, he articulated it. And John Calvin at least saw in the scripture that predestination was a scriptural doctrine. We just read to you yesterday or the day before Ephesians 1 verses 4 and 5 and Romans 8:29. These verses prove predestination to be a fact. God designates certain people beforehand. The question is, what about the billions of people who aren't predestined for heaven? And again, we said the Calvinists, when confronted with this problem, they develop the "oh well" creed. They just say, "Oh well, I guess this is what God wants to do." Mm. And I mentioned how God is defamed and defaced through this, and people think God is a raving lunatic because the people He doesn't choose, which He could easily do it if He wanted to, but for some reason He arbitrarily sends most of the race to hell. That's ridiculous. Now, there is another school of thought that opposes Calvinists. Remember, Calvinists sit around going, "Oh well."
Oh well.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum stand the Arminians. Well, these are not people from Armenia.
By the way, just so you know, they're all going to deny these charges.
They will?
Absolutely.
You mean if there's a
nobody
Calvinist
ever represents
listening?
These folks properly?
You mean if there's a Calvinist?
Yeah,
well, they haven't called yet. We've been talking about them for 2 weeks.
No, they don't call.
They don't? Why don't they call? I challenge Calvinists to call us or send us an email. If you have any questions about this, you can go to my website, martinzender.com. There's a section called Return to Zender. They're pretty clever, isn't it? I thought that up.
Yeah, and notice that's not a 70s song.
Yeah, it should have been. And you can write me, ask me questions, and likewise at Dan Sheridan's site, paulsevangel.com. If we're missing something and you need to know, write us, and in 6 months we'll get to it, I promise. Okay? So, Calvin did not have a problem with the thought of a sovereign God bringing billions of people into the world only to send most of them to an eternity of torment. And
yippee.
Again, yeah, woo-ha,
yay,
what a doctrine.
Yay for Jesus.
So here come the Arminians. Now, these people followed a man named Jacobus Arminius. And once again, this man didn't invent this school of thought.
Didn't he play lineman for the Bears?
No. I think he was in the secondary. But anyway, this man, he became a representative of this school of thought. And this is the other end of the spectrum. These people followed this guy. Now, they rejected Calvin's predestination teaching of pure grace. They denied it. Why? Because I will say this for the Arminians. They had a little problem with the teaching of a God who purposely does not predestinate most of creation, and God is just fine with sending them into eternal torment. You know, the Calvinists go, oh, well, and they just refuse to think about it. These Arminians, thank God, at least they think about it and think, that's terrible, that's ridiculous. We can't make God responsible for sending most of the creation to hell. Therefore, this is what we're going to do. We're going to reject these obvious verses, Ephesians 1, 4, 5, Romans 8, 29, we're going to sweep those verses under the rug, and we're going to make salvation available to everybody. It's not a matter of choice, because then we have to admit that not everybody's saved, so it must be God making the choice. We're going to let God off the hook. So we're going to just say that it's free to all, but that it's up to you individually. Only individuals who exercise their free wills can take hold of it. That way, aren't we doing God a big favor? We're relieving God of the responsibility of damning people to hell. Now, you damn yourself to hell because you didn't believe. We've taken it off of God's resume. God wouldn't do that. And so we're going to give it to you. If you go to hell, it's your fault. And they cannot help. When you say that, when it's your fault, we're going to relieve God of it. In Calvinism, it's God's fault because he's the one who sovereignly designates some and doesn't designate others.
Yeah.
That's the motive here. We're going to relieve God of responsibility, but in order to do that, we have to give it to the human. So we're going to ignore these predesignation verses, and you're responsible for your own salvation.
This is the savior of Arminianism. You ready? Oh, Father, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. Father, I pray that they get saved. Oh, please, Martin, accept me as your Savior, Martin.
I did all I could.
Oh, Martin, accept me. I did my part. No, please, please,
I don't know,
believe
Lord.
Believe in me.
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I don't know.
Martin,
I'm not feeling it.
Please believe in me.
I'm
please
not feeling
believe
it,
me.
Lord.
Oh, boat, Martin's dead. Bah! Down to hell.
That's what these both have in common.
Yeah.
Is hell.
Yeah, they do.
With the Calvinists, it's God that sends you to hell. With the Arminians, it's you that send yourself to hell.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And most Christians today, although they won't acknowledge it, as you rightly pointed out, they believe in this. They believe that it's up. The opportunity is yours. Christ.
Lovely.
Just, yeah, Christ made it possible. Didn't actually save you.
No.
But he made it possible
Couldn't
for you to
that.
Save yourself.
Couldn't do that.
And in fact, these Arminians, they have to ignore a bunch of scriptures that teach the sovereignty of God. All these verses that say God designates beforehand, God operates all in accord with the counsel of his will, God is doing according to his will among the inhabitants of earth and the inhabitants of heaven. They have to ignore these. They sweep so many sovereignty of God verses under their theological rug that it looks like a beret on the Matterhorn. It's just... Did you get that? A beret on the Matterhorn?
I brought this verse up with an Arminian... person who believes in free will. Let's just
basically, yeah. But
all right, here's the verse. This is found in Philippians chapter 1, and I for years just blew this verse off. Didn't mean anything to me. And the Apostle Paul is saying this here in Philippians chapter 1 to the believers in Philippi. He says, "For to you it is graciously granted." Did you hear that? And literally, it's graced. To you it's been grace. This is a gift, okay? To you it is graciously granted for Christ's sake, not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also. And I used to say that I used to ignore the believing part and just emphasize the suffering side.
Mm-hmm.
Paul takes it for granted. See, Philippians is about the suffering. He takes it for granted. They already recognize that their believing was a gift and grace. See, to you, to us, it's been graciously granted to be believing in him. This is a gift of God.
Is it out of us?
Not out of us. It's not out of you, 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 not out of you. Get it in your heads. It's not out of you. It's the Greek preposition ek, ek, out of. There's not. Take you, open up your body,
yeah.
Slice it open like, you know, a good doctor would, and there's nothing in there that comes out of you.
That's a good analogy.
That merits salvation.
You're driving me crazy. Where does it come from then?
It comes from God.
God.
It's great. It comes
outside.
How does outside.
He get it in there?
It comes from the outside.
How does he get
See,
it in there? How
the
does
snare.
It get through the
This is
bone,
the snare man. Of modern, the modern Christian movement that is emotional ridden, the Pentecostal type stuff,
yeah.
Is that it's always looking inward, 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 inward. What is God doing in you? Forget about it. It's what God does outside and gives to you. See, we got to have as much emphasis on what God does from without as much as he does from within. And it's interesting, in Romans 1 through 4, which is the teaching of justification, if you are not established, I mean, whoever is listening to me now, if you're not established in Romans 1 through 4, you can go nowhere else with God. And in Romans 1 through 4, God's Spirit is not mentioned at all. Because God does not want you looking inward for justification. The Spirit of God comes in Romans 5 after justification is already settled. And the Spirit in Romans 5 said the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through Holy Spirit.
I love that active word, poured out in our hearts.
And so that is for that's for comfort for the way as we go through and we suffer looking for that day when we meet our Lord. But he doesn't want us looking within for justification. And so the gift of God to us is faith.
It's poured out. It's poured out, active verb. It's given to us, active
verb.
That's
after justification.
Yeah, but they're all active verbs. Paul says, as we said earlier, that the grace of God overwhelmed me with faith and love. All these active verbs, God has to do it. And if he doesn't do it, it ain't going
to
happen.
Has to. Well, Martin, I got to go. And when you leave, don't let the good Lord hit you where the good Lord split you.
Don't let the good... You blew the line! I love
I
it!
Did?
Yes!
Did I blaspheme Todd Dally
again? Yeah, blasphemed. Yes, sir. Tomorrow we're going to get this line
don't
right.
Don't let the door hit you.
Yeah,
with
tomorrow
the
we're
going to
get this line right. I'm going to do it right tomorrow, folks. We're going to wind up on the Arminians. Don't give up on us there. And we're going to tell you something about the Arminians and the Calvinists that you are not going to believe.
Dan Sheridan, crossandthrone.com.